Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks to the grace of a very loving God who's crazy about me, strong sponsorship, and the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink since February 2nd, 2010. And for someone like me, that's incredible. My home group is Solution on the Shore. We meet 8 o'clock Saturday nights in Neptune, New Jersey. It's a one-hour speaker meeting. It's awesome. It's the best home group in New Jersey. In 1 year, we've tripled in size, and we had to find a new venue for a meeting, and there's just so much energy. You can walk in there any Saturday night, you just feel it, and I love it, and I feel like home when I'm there. We're a really active group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We go to rehabs and detoxes and other AA groups, and we carry this message. And I'm so grateful for that home group because it absolutely saved my life. And I have a sponsor. I've been through the 12 steps, and I have the privilege and honor of sponsoring other women, which is an amazing part of my life, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's the one thing in my life that just continuously brings me joy, and it never lets me down. I'm an alcoholic because I have an allergic reaction to alcohol. When I start drinking, I do not know when to stop, and when I'm stopped, all I can do is think about it until I finally find something that gives me the relief that comes when I take a few drinks. And I was born into a really, really normal family. I have an older brother, two parents that love and adore me and my brother more than anything else in the world. They would die for us. I know that's true. And we grew up in, like, a Christian church. My dad is alcoholic. He hasn't picked up a drink in 26 years. And I'm only 20 years old. I've never seen my father pick up a drink. And they instilled values in us, and they brought us up in a church and all these great things. And I really, like, I don't remember anything about my childhood at all. Like, people talk about these stories and how they felt and what was going on. I don't remember anything at all. I just remember me and my dad were really, really close, and my mom and my brother were, like, super jealous of it. Because, like, we were on the same level, so we could sit there and we could joke around for hours and hours and hours. And my mom and my brother would be sitting there like, I don't get it. Like, what's the point of that joke? So when I was, like, 7 years old, my dad's like, yeah, you are definitely an alcoholic, and you will never, ever be able to pick up a drink successfully as long as you live. And, you know, there was never alcohol in my house. Like, my mom's not a drinker. My dad hasn't drank in 25 years. So, like, I didn't even know what that meant. I was like, what is this alcohol you speak of? Like, I can't wait to try it. I really don't remember anything from my childhood at all. But when I was 12 years old, we moved from one town to the next. Literally, like, the houses were 1 mile away from each other, and my life was over. Life as I knew it had ceased to exist, and I knew my parents hated me, and I knew they were just trying to ruin my life because they wanted to see me have absolutely no friends. They wanted me to cry. You know, that was their goal. That was absolutely their goal in life, was to destroy mine. And so we moved to this town, and I know the town's, like, a little bit more wealthy, so I know I'm going to have a really hard time with that. And what my parents' real goal was, it was a better school system, it was a more affordable house, and they were willing to do whatever they could to give me the best future, a better future than they had. And I totally didn't see it that way, and I hated them. And I was this, like, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, like, brat. Like, I was the kid from hell. Like, my mom would be like, oh, do you want to go shopping? I'd be like, why would I want to go anywhere with you? Seriously. And that's just how I was. And I, looking back on it, like, I really hope I never have a daughter because, like, I was awful to my parents. And they would just, you know, they just loved me so much. And in the years to come, like, I would just walk all over that. And I would, you know, hurt them so badly. And to the point where they couldn't even look at me in the eye. And it's just terrible, the things I did. So I go into this school, and I'm, like, looking around at the class, and, you know, I'm sizing everyone up. I'm like, all right, well, I'm definitely not as pretty as her, but I'm way prettier than that girl. So, like, I'm in the middle here, so I think I'll be able to make it. But in the meanwhile, I'm sitting in the back of the classroom, like, shaking, like, uncontrollably. Like, I can't control my shaking. So everyone is looking at me, like, why is that girl in the back of the room shaking? Something's wrong with her. And I know the teacher's going to ask, because my dad told me, like, to raise my hand when the teacher asks if anyone's new to the school system. So, like, I'm just waiting, like, you know, she's doing the attendance and handing out all the papers, and I'm shaking, and I'm, like, trying to say, like, where should I say I'm from, because I could lie. Like, all this stuff is just going on in my head. Like, it's, like, rapid fire up here. And the teacher, so I come up with this plan of something awesome I'm going to say. And the teacher asks if anyone's new to the school system. And my, like, shaking hand goes up, and she looks at me, like, a little bit concerned. And she's like, go ahead. I'm like, I'm Ashley. You know? So it didn't go over too well. And that's pretty much how, like, the rest of that year went for me. You know, the popular girls thought I was really strange because I would just, like, stare at them. You know? I was like, I got to be just like them. I got to be popular. Like, this is, like, my time. So, like, I would, like, stare at these girls, and they'd be like, why are you staring at me? And, like, the nerdy girls, like, the smart ones were like, you know, they're just nice, like, and they'd, like, try to be my friend, and I was like, I can't be seen with you people. So, I was basically by myself, and it was bad. Next year, I talked to my mom, you know, my mom's, like, trying so hard to do anything she can to make me comfortable. So I have her take me to the mall, and I get all these new clothes. And I've stalked these popular girls pretty well at this point, so I know what kind of music they listen to and where they shop and everything. So the next year, I, like, tricked them into being my friend because anything they wanted to hear, I would tell them. Whatever music they listen to, I've seen them twice in concert with my older brother. You know, whatever stores they're shopping at, my closet is full of that at home. I just don't have it on right now. You know, and I wanted so badly to be accepted, and I just wanted so badly to be a part of something, because I was so empty and, like, inside, and I didn't even know who I was, or, like, what I liked, or anything like that. So I tricked these girls into liking me, so I became popular, but the only problem was, like, the popular girls started talking about, like, drinking and partying with boys, and, like, the way I looked at, like, 13, 14, like, definitely none of that was going on. But I told them, like, oh, yeah, me and my cousins, like, we drink all the time. I'm doing, like, Jaeger bombs and stuff. I, like, got this stuff down. Mind you, like, I've never even seen alcohol at this point for the most part, besides, like, on TV. But for whatever reason, I guess we had a family party, which is really weird because, like most people, my family is, like, a disaster. I can't imagine us all being in the same house. But for some reason we were, and there was a bottle of vodka. And it stayed at my house. And it was in our garage, like, tucked away behind some stuff. And I stalked this bottle. I was like, this is my in. Like, I'm going to impress these girls so much when they see this, you know? So I was stalking this bottle, and I'm waiting for my opportunity where no one's looking, and I'm home alone, so I can pour a big glass and hide it in my closet and invite these girls over to drink. So I did, and had this cup and grabbed some orange juice, invited these girls over, and I was like, let's drink tonight, you know? And they're like, okay, yeah. And I couldn't wait. I was so excited. I didn't even know what was going to happen. I didn't know what the effects produced by alcohol were at all. But all I know, that first sip, it burnt so bad, and it felt so good. And just, like, the look on everyone else's face, like, when I brought that cup into the room, like, I was like, yes! You know, and nothing bad happened that night. We drank. I stood in the, you know, I was, like, I remember we were, like, kneeling around my bed, and I just was, like, rocking back and forth, you know, and I was on cloud nine, and I didn't have to lie to these girls anymore. I didn't care what they thought about me, because I found something that made all of that noise, like, all those, like, game plans and all that stuff going on in my head 24/7, just, it was quiet, you know, and that was a lot for someone like me. Yeah, so the next morning I woke up, and I was absolutely in love with alcohol. more than anything else in my entire life, I absolutely fell in love. I could not wait to get my hands on alcohol. And, you know, I live in, like, this really, really suburban area, and my parents do not have a loaded liquor cabinet, so I had to go to great lengths to get my hands on alcohol, and I absolutely did. I would talk to older people. I would, like, go into the neighbor's house, see what they had going on in their garage, you know, anything I could do. And when I got my hands on any, I knew I had to drink as much as I could, as fast as I possibly could. And what usually happens is I go into a blackout. I lose shoes and clothes and phones, and I forget, like, that I need to go home at some point because I'm 14. And the police in my town are not impressed with me, like, running rampant in the streets, like, throwing my clothes around and, like, knocking on neighbors' doors and stuff. So what the police in my town like to do is pick me up and bring me home. And, you know, my dad's alcoholic, and, you know, he tried so hard to give me a great life. And when that started happening, like, his heart just shattered. Like, his little daughter, you know, like, I was his gift from being sober, you know, because my brother is 8 years older than me, and they tried to have kids in between me and my brother, and they couldn't. My dad thought it was, like, his curse for all the wrongs he's done in his life. And then there's me, and, like, I was his pride and joy. And to see me, like, come in the house wrecked, you know, knocking things over and saying terrible things to him, like, his heart was just shattered. And they would do things like, they'd pull me out of all my, like, activities, like the sports or whatever I was involved in. And he'd, like, try to make, like, a mockery of me and, you know, call the school and let them know. And I have to be in, like, school counseling. And I have to see these therapists and psychologists and go to all sorts of, like, adolescent alcohol counseling. And I'm grounded. And what I found out I could do is, like, I can manipulate my parents into thinking that I'm awesome again. And, you know, clean the house up really well, fold their laundry, clean their room, get an A on a spelling quiz, put that on the fridge. You know, look at me. Like, I'm golden child again. And, you know, I could manipulate my dad into thinking, like, I would never do that again. You know, it was a mistake. I'm a kid. I won't do it again. I want to fit in. And as time went on, my excuses got really extravagant, and I blamed it on all sorts of different things. But the end result was usually, like, me getting brought home by the police. And, you know, I'm just wrecking my parents' lives. And the popular girls really don't want me around. Because, like, if Ashley's around, the police are definitely going to show up. So let's not invite her out with us. So what I have to do is I have to start going to, like, groups of friends where, like, getting picked up by the police is, like, socially acceptable. and, you know, and what I do is I just take from everyone around me, and I walk over everyone. And, you know, I hurt a lot of people, and I get a lot of people in trouble. And my parents are starting to question me because they're sending me to all these counselors. I'm like, well, you know, the reason I drink is because I have this eating disorder, and you don't understand how hard it is for me because all these girls are, like, so much better. And my dad is like, you're not going to be able to fool me. Like, you are an alcoholic. And I was like, well, Dad, they told me in counseling, like, I'm not an alcoholic till I admit it. you know? And he's like, exactly. So time just went on, and things just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I have all these, like, consequences. Like, I'm on this kiddie probation. That's a joke. And they send me to Scared Street, and that's an even bigger joke. And I keep, you know, getting right back to the juvenile court. And they're like, Ashley, what is it going to take for you? And this is, like, one of my favorite stories. My probation officer's like, well, we usually don't do this with cases like you, but I think this might stick. So they sent me to, like, Clinton State Prison, which is the women's prison in New Jersey, for 24 hours. And they picked me up in, like, the Department of Corrections van with, like, literally, like, 16-year-old criminals, like, committing, like, armed robberies and, like, carrying weapons. And here's me, like, little girl, like, just little drunk girl, you know, and I'm in the van with these people, and I'm like, oh, my God, I have to go to prison for 24 hours. This is awesome. Like, people, like, people are going to think I'm such a badass. Like, when I go back to school and I tell them about this story, like, I got to get invited to some parties, you know? This is a great story for the books. But, you know, just nothing, there was no consequence great enough. It didn't matter how long I got grounded, how many things got taken away from me, how much I embarrassed myself the night before, because, like, I didn't even remember, so it didn't matter. And I would try to, like, find things where, like, I wouldn't drink, so, you know, I'd, like, get a boyfriend, I'd be, like, totally obsessed with him until that stopped working, and I start drinking again, I start cheating on him, and it's this big disaster, and, I just can't seem to find anything that works. So I think I'm just doomed to this life. And, you know, I've come to terms with, like, definitely have a drinking problem. But, like, my plan is I'll just drink this way until I'm, like, 25, get married, have kids, and, like, that'll be it. So that was, like, my total plan, like, for life. And my parents are trying all these different things. And what they decide, which is, how they came up with this, I will never, ever understand. They decide, like, let's give her some, like, major responsibility that will totally wisen her up. So they go out and they buy me a car. terrible, terrible thing. If you're a parent in this room, I don't suggest it. And they sit me down with the keys, and it's like, I'm so excited because I'm like, I'm going to have a car. Oh, my God. And they're like, Ashley, we know you drink. We know you drink a lot. We know when you drink a lot, you get in trouble. These are keys to a vehicle. Whatever you do, do not drink and drive. Leave your car, call us, throw the keys in the ocean. I don't care. You know, just please don't drink and drive. So I grab the keys, I go out, and I start drinking and driving immediately. Because, like, I can, and I live in a beach town, and I'm a lifeguard, so, you know, my life is just one big party. Like, it was designed to be this way. Like, I was just born into it. Like, don't they understand it's in the air that I breathe? And I'm just a disaster. And I'm showing up at work. And I'm coming to, like, on the lifeguard stand. And I look down, and I'm like, what time is it? And they're like, it's 10 o'clock. And I was like, oh, my God, what time did I get here? They're like, you were here on time. I'm like, did anything happen yet? Like, wow, like, this is not good. Like, I am, like, responsible for people's lives. And it's just a disaster in my life, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And 2 weeks after my 18th birthday, I was arrested for DUI. Like, thank God it happened then, not any time later. And my parents were just crushed, you know? They were like, how could you? Like, how could you do this? Like, we've worked so hard. We worked day and night to get all these things for you. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, you don't understand. Like, someone needed a ride. Like, was I not going to give them a ride? And they were just, like, it was just really bad. And I just absolutely broke their heart. And the next night, I was out drinking again. And my dad was, like, really just scared for me. And he picks me up, and I'm out of my mind, and I'm like, I'm going to kill myself, or I'm going to kill you. And he's like, do you want to go to the hospital, or do you want to go to the police station? I was like, I'll go to the hospital. So, you know, I get committed in, like, the psychiatric unit, and come to there. I'm like, how did I get here? Like, what is going on with my life? Like, this story is not as cool as, like, the prison story. Like, I don't know how I'm going to spin this one when people find out. And my life is a disaster, and I'm really starting to lose friends. Like, no one really wants me around because of the way I act when I'm drinking. And I'm going out and staying out for, like, 3-4 days at a time. And I just, like, walk into my parents' house. I'm like, hey, what's for dinner? And I, like, haven't been home in a week. And, like, I'm in the same clothes I went out in. And they just, like, they can't even look at me. They can't even stand the sight of me. And 7 days after my DUI, something happened that, like, really, like, changed me for a little bit. One of my really good friends, Johnny, we're all at a party, and my good friend Johnny, he's a really, really good kid. One of those kids that just has a smile from, like, ear to ear all the time, and him and his family are, like, really, really close. Like, you always see him hanging out with his sister. And he had a full ride to school for, like, just being, like, book smart, which baffles me. But we're all at our party, and it's like Thanksgiving time, so he's home for break. And he gets in the car to, like, drive around the block. And as he pulls out of the driveway, he, like, spins out of control, and he hits a pole, and he dies instantly. This is 7 days after I got a DUI. And, you know, I'm a piece of crap at this point, and I know it. And everyone else around me knows it. And Johnny is a good kid. And I am so angry at God at this point for taking someone like Johnny and not someone like me. And I managed to stop drinking for about a month just out of pure, like, sadness and fear and just, like, how could this happen to us? And then about a month goes by, and I'm, like, sitting around with some friends, and we're like, you know, I don't think Johnny would want us to sit around and feel sorry for him. He definitely would want us to go out and celebrate his life. So let's go. You know, and I was off to the races again, and I'm, like I said, I start blacking out and coming to in places like I didn't start the night off here. And, you know, and around people that I don't really know that well. Because, you know, for me, like, when I walk into a party, like, I feel, like, really uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, my God, like, I'm not drunk yet. Like, what do I do? Like, how do I talk? Like, what do, you know? So I, like, grab that bottle, and I just drink as fast as I can, and I black out within, like, 4 minutes of being there. And I just get myself into these crazy situations. And, you know, I don't have, like, any real friends. Like, no one can stand me. Most people are, like, sitting me down, and, like, Ashley, you really have a drinking problem. I was like, I know, that's why I go to therapy. And they're like, no, seriously, like, it's really bad. And I'm like, whatever, like, you don't understand. And time's going on, and it's senior year, so I'm like, you know, I'm on top of the world. I'm, like, party girl of the world. And I'm drinking, like, 7 days a week, and I can't even get through a school day without having something in my system to get me through, because it's just horrible what these teachers want me to do. You know, play with clay and read, like, a Shakespeare book. Like, it's just unbearable. So by the end of my senior year, like, I'm drinking around the clock. Like, it's a mess. And the school police officer knows me because, like I said, I get arrested a lot. I've been arrested, like, 12 times between the age of, like, 14 to 18. And he knows me pretty well. We're on a first-name basis. Some days, like, I could just go hang out in his office. And we, like, look at people's Facebooks together. But he sees me this one day, and I'm wrecked, you know? We're, like, out drinking tequila all night. And I remember waking up in the morning, like, just smelling the tequila. So, like, seeing a bottle of wine and just drinking that, because I knew that would smell better than the tequila coming off my body. And I walk into school, and I'm just a wreck. And he sees me, and he's like, Ashley, I cannot watch you kill yourself anymore. So he grabs me by the hand, and he takes me in front of the school, and it's, like, the last month of school. And, he arrests me right there, right as everyone's coming and going in the school. And, you know, I am so embarrassed. I, like, can't even hold my head up, because now, like, all my classmates and all these friends I have are, like, watching me get arrested. And he takes me down to the processing center, and it's, like, my home away from home. And he has me double-cuffed, like usual, to, like, the bench. And I'm like, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to do anything. Like, please take these handcuffs off me. And he just kind of, like, looks at me and walks away. And he's like, we'll call your dad, and we'll see what happens. So he calls my dad. And at this point, my dad has bailed me out of everything. Every jam I've gotten myself into, the DUI, the whole nine yards. He's always right there to pick me up. And this particular day, like, I can hear my dad's voice. I can hear him talking to the school police officer. But I can't see him because I'm double cuffed in a cell. And I hear my dad say, they're like, oh, Mr. Harmer, like, we'll go get Ashley and you could take her home. And I hear my dad and he's like, no. He's like, I want absolutely nothing to do with her. Just keep her. And I'm like, whoa. Like, that's something I haven't seen before. So I sit there for a little while longer, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, this is, like, a bigger load than I've seen in a while. You know, I managed to stay out of trouble since the DUI, and I don't have any more excuses. You know, I can't blame it on the friends, or, you know, I have nothing. The school police officer comes in, he's laughing. He's like, well, I don't want you either, so I'll give you a ride home. And I'm like, great. So he gives me a ride home, and I walk into my parents' house, and I can hear my mom crying so loud that it's like springtime, so the screen door's open. I can hear it from outside. And I walk into the house, and my dad's sitting in the living room, and I walk in, and I just look at him. I can't even say anything, and he looks right through me. He looked at me like a terrorist had just walked into his home. And he's like, what are you going to do now? Like, what else is there? And I was like, I guess I'll go to AA. And, you know, he kind of laughs, and he's like, you better do something. He's like, I'm not helping you out with this one. And at this point, I'm expelled from school. I don't have a job. I don't have a car. I don't have a license. I don't have a friend, you know. But I knew this girl who we've been best friends since, like, seventh grade when I first moved to Wall Township, or the town I live in. And she went away to rehab, like, a couple months ago. And we totally went different paths in high school. She went away to rehab. And I remember seeing her at school. We were in the same homeroom, and she talked about how she went to AA. I kind of looked at her, and I was like, that is awful. I'm so sorry, you know, because I'm, like, wasted. She really, like, wasn't impressed with me. And I knew she was going to AA, so I gave her a call. And I was like, she knew what happened. She saw the whole thing, and she was like, I call her, and I'm like, can you take me to an AA meeting? And she's like, absolutely. And she was, like, right there, you know. She drove her car right over and picked me up, and I remember just crying, like, oh, my God, my life is over. I'm expelled. I have no friends. I have no car. And she's like, I know. Like, I've been there. I know exactly what you're feeling. We went to this AA meeting, and it was, like, this big room with a bunch of old dudes and smelled like coffee. And I, like, looked in, and I, like, thought I was in purgatory. I was like, oh, my God, like, my life has, this is what my life has come to. Like, what did I do wrong to the world? Like, I didn't understand. And it was a celebration meeting, and this little old lady, she was, like, 150 years old. She, like, crawls up behind the podium, and she's celebrating, like, 100 years of sobriety. And I'm like, oh, great, like, I can't believe this. Like, I was just like, what am I going to do with my life? And but what happened is she talked about, like, exactly the way I was feeling at that moment, right before she stopped drinking, how she absolutely wanted to die. And she didn't see a way out, and she had nothing. She had no car, no license, no friend, you know, nothing going on in her life. And I was like, wow, like, I feel that way too. And that's the only thing I heard that meeting. And I raised my hand, and I said I was new, and, you know, they came up to me, and they gave me a pat on the back, and they said, keep coming, it gets better. And I'm like, I sure hope so. My God. But, you know, I was in some, like, really hot water, and I had, like, these crazy charges, because I was in a school system and all this stuff, so I'm looking at, like, 6 months in jail and, like, $10,000 in fines. I'm like, oh, my God, you know? So I know I got to do something, and I got to pull it together quick. So I start running around AA with this girl, and we're going to all sorts of crazy meetings. We're going to other fellowships, and, you know, we're not really looking for a message of hope. We're, like, looking for the relief, like we always do, the relief that we find in drink. And it was a mess. We're going to these meetings, and I'm putting my hand up, and, like, I don't even know how my hand goes up and, like, how these words come out of my mouth, but it's just, like, this emotional, like, blabber that comes out. And people, like, you know, when you do that, the whole room turns towards you and, like, gives you advice for an hour. So they're, like, telling me things like, go home and write a gratitude list. And I'm like, a gratitude list? Like, did you just hear what my life is like? Like, I can't find anything to be grateful for. I don't even want to wake up. And for whatever reason, I run around in AA for, like, 6 months, and I don't do that sponsor step thing, because that's just, like, I'm way above that. but I run into these people who are having a different experience than I am. And they're, like, happy, and they're excited about life. But they're those creepy people that, like, have sponsors and talk about the steps and God. And I'm, like, totally not into that. I'm totally unwilling to hear it. You know, what I'm looking for is, like, I probably need a new boyfriend. And, you know, I need all this stuff. You know, I need a car, and I need a better job, and, you know, I need to do better in school. And, like, all my problems will go away. I know they will. And what happened was stuff on the outside did get better. I got a license back. I showed up in court, and they just gave me, like, a $200 fine because I had my little meeting list that was all coffee-stained and wrinkled and the whole nine yards. So I turned that in. And, you know, I faked those tears that drip out of my eyes and, you know, do that little puppy dog face to the judge, and he sees right through it for some reason. I get away with that, and my parents like me because, the police aren't calling on a regular basis. And some of those friends, like, will actually, like, answer my phone calls. And, you know, all this outside stuff is happening, but I feel like crap on the inside. When I lay down at night, it feels like there's an elephant on my chest, and I can't breathe. You know, and when I wake up in the morning, I don't even want to look at myself in the mirror. Because the things I'm doing, like, I know I shouldn't be doing. I'm sleeping around, and I'm spending all my money, and all these terrible things, and I'm lying to people. You know, I'm lying to this best friend I have, that we're running around Alcoholics Anonymous together, and I can't even tell her the truth. And the way I'm living is just disgusting, and I don't like anything about myself. And it was just, like, those were dark, dark days, and they were sober. And I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I have about, like, I kind of have 6 months of sobriety. I don't even really know what was going on. And I call up those old friends, and I'm like, guys, guess what? When you get 6 months in AA, you can either choose to, like, stay in AA, or they tell you how to drink successfully. So I obviously chose that one. Let's go out. You know, and I totally think it's going to be different. And I think I'm going to fool people. And I'm going to get away with, like, all the things that I love to get away with. And I don't. I start drinking, and I go into a blackout. And I wind up places I don't know how I got there. And I'm around people that I know I shouldn't be around. And I just can't stand the way I'm living my life at all. Like, alcohol isn't even giving me the relief I want. And I just don't even know how else to live. And I'm running around, so I'm like, you know, I'm not going to stop drinking because that's just awful. Like, at least when I black out, like, that's good, you know? But sometimes it takes a little while to get there. So maybe I just have to find the right balance. Like, maybe if I go to one AA meeting a week, I won't be alcoholic, and I can drink, and I'll, you know, this whole balancing act I'm trying, and the one AA meeting a week doesn't work, so I'm like, all right, one meeting and church. I try that, and, you know, church is good. Like, I feel good when I leave church, but it doesn't stick the rest of the week, and, you know, I'm like, maybe if I get a boyfriend that's in AA, that'll totally work. And I'll just tell him I'm not an alcoholic. I just drink on the weekends, and I don't even black out. And he'll totally buy it. And I don't know what happened there, but I woke up one morning, I go on Facebook, and I'm, like, in a relationship with a dude in AA. So I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, this is not good. But, like, you know, I'm going to these AA meetings, and, like, he's bringing me to, like, some different meetings where, like, there's a different message, apparently, and I'm like, okay. And I hear this woman speak, and she spoke like I've never heard a woman speak from the podium of Alcoholics Anonymous. She talked about how she felt sober, and she talked about going to great lengths for alcohol, and she talked about the things she did, and, you know, where it got her, and I never experienced that before. I was, like, in awe, and, you know, I'm sober now, like, for a couple of hours, and he, like, pushes me to go talk to her. So what I do is I'm like, hi, can I have your phone number? and I get her phone number, and I, like, run away, and I, like, call someone, and I'm, like, pretending I'm on this, like, really important phone call, so I don't you know, because I don't know what to do with myself when I'm sober. It feels like I'm in a circus, you know, and I just don't know how to act. And, you know, and I'm drinking and I'm, you know, I'm doing all these terrible things that, like, I don't want to do anymore. I don't want to be this person anymore, but I don't know how to stop. And someone that I go to school with called me. He's like, I know you have class, because I'm in community college, and he's like, I know you have class at 1:30, and there's a noontime meeting in campus, and I really think you should go. And, you know, the night before was not good. Like, I woke up, and I just could smell the vodka, like, pouring out of me. And I get in my car, and I don't know how it happened. I don't even know how I answered this guy's phone call, but I did. And, you know, I pull up to the school, and I'm there an hour and a half early. I'm like, what am I doing here? And I walk into this meeting, and it's like three dudes. They're all old. And I'm like, why are you even in college? Like, you're like 50. I don't get it. And they're drinking coffee, and they're sitting in a circle. So I sit down, and I know I reek, and my nose starts to bleed. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I'm such a mess right now. And they ask me how long I'm sober, and I'm like, oh, I have, like, 6 days. I look at my watch, I'm like, I have 6 hours. Oh, my God. And something happened. Like, they all went around in a circle and complained about their problems. And it got to me, and there was, like, 47 minutes left. And I just, like, unleashed. I really started to talk about, like, what I felt like, what my head felt like. This circus that goes on in my head, and, like, how my heart breaks every single day when I wake up, and I don't want to drink, but I wind up drinking, and I get myself in these situations, and they're all looking at me like I'm crazy, but I walked out of that room, and I felt a little bit lighter, and, you know, instead of going to one meeting a week, I, like, went to three, and this, AA boyfriend, he's like, you're not going to try to get sober or anything, right, because that's going to really make me look bad. And I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, I am a disaster. And about a month goes by, and I have this lady's phone number that I heard. And for some reason, I called her. And I asked her for help. And, like, she really didn't think I was serious, granted the situation that I was in. But I called her, and I asked her if she'd help me. And she said, absolutely, but are you willing to go to any lengths? And I was like, sure. Like, I guess. And she started giving me direction, and I started taking it. And, you know, we got into the work. And I didn't even know what I was doing or what was happening around me. She told me to do something, and I was like, I don't even know what else to do. So I guess I'll just do it. So I did, and we started taking these simple actions, and I started to get results. You know, I started to feel a little bit better each step I took. And, you know, we got right into action. Like, she didn't call me. Like, I didn't have to call her every day and tell her, like, what I was thinking or what I was feeling. Like, she would call me. She'd tell me to do something. We'd meet. We'd talk. You know, and we just got through this stuff. We got all this stuff that was blocking me off from God out of the way. And this woman is, like, out of her mind. Like, she thinks it's totally normal to, like, pack her car full of people and go down to Delaware on a Wednesday. And I'm like, all right. Like... Remember that, Dad? you know, and I started experiencing something I never experienced before in Alcoholics Anonymous. I saw this light in people's eyes. Like, people were no longer, like, standing there complaining about their problems. Like, they were really excited about AA. And, like, I started to get really excited about AA, and I, you know, I felt better. I got this relief, and it was really awesome. And, like, this new power fell in, and I, like, wanted to be right in the middle of it, you know? I just couldn't get enough of it, and I'm all over the map, and I do a fourth and a fifth step with this woman, and I didn't feel so different anymore. You know, that way I felt all those years where, like, this circus just goes on in my head. I don't know how else to explain it. When I left the fifth step, like, it wasn't there anymore, and I went home, and I did 6 and 7, and I just felt okay. You know, I woke up in the morning that day, and I looked in the mirror, and, like, the thought of, like, why, like, what's the point, had completely gone away. Like, I knew there was a purpose of life, and I knew I was a part of it now. And, you know, I just jumped right in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started going around and making amends to those friends that I've walked over all those years, all those people, like, I just hurt so bad, and my parents, like, I didn't sit down and make a verbal amends to my parents right away. I just started living differently, you know? I started picking up around the house, like, asking my parents how their day was. Like, that was a big thing for someone like me, and, you know, sitting down and having dinner with them once or twice a week. Simple things like that, I just started living differently. And then it came the time where, like, I was ready to sit down and make the verbal amends to my parents, and it was really awesome with my dad, because, like, my dad attended Alcoholics Anonymous for a couple of years back in the 80s, and, you know, he didn't get the same thing we got. Like, he got involved in a church, and he found a God of his understanding. He does not have the obsession to drink, but, like, he does not have the same freedom that I have today, and I know that true. So I sat down across the table, and I told him, like, I was wrong for the things I've done in the past. I was wrong for, like, publicly embarrassed. Like, my father couldn't even show up to my high school graduation. Like, I remember the vice principal calling me, like, we know you're expelled, but, like, we'll let you walk. And I was really excited. Like, I ran in. I was like, Dad, like, they're going to let me walk in graduation. He's like, I cannot show my face there. Like, do you know how many parents have seen me represent you in court? You know? And just, like, the immense amount of pain I put my father through. Like, I got to sit down and just tell him I was wrong. Not that I was sorry, because there's just so many times I was, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And the next day, I'm doing the same exact things. And, you know, and my dad said, Ashley, I never wanted this life for you. I never wanted you to feel the pain that I felt in the past. I never wanted you to go through the things that I've had to go through. And then he looks down and he looks up and he's like, I'm so glad you are, because I know you're going to be okay. I know you're going to have an amazing future. And we cried, and, you know, and we went on about our business. And I'm really active in Alcoholics Anonymous now, and I'm speaking at this meeting a couple towns down. I see this 14-year-old girl. I don't even know she's 14 because she's in AA, so I, like, automatically think she's got to be at least, like, 18. And she's sitting there, and she is so adorable, and she's just, like, I see her, like, literally gripping her chair, just, like, and there's just, like, this blankness about her. And I go up to, and we speak, and I go up to her, and I'm like, hey, like, I'm Ashley, like, you should come, like, check out some meetings with us, like, we got a couple of young people we run around with, and, you know, just come hang out, it'll be a good time. And she's like, okay, and I give her my number, and I was like, maybe she'll call, maybe she won't, and the next day she calls, and I, like, run over, and I pick her up, and we just start talking. You know, I start telling her my story a little bit more, and she starts telling me something about her, and I'm like, you're 14? I was like, oh, my God, that's insane. You know, and after a little bit of this goes on back and forth, she asked me to be her sponsor, and, like, I was like, yes, like, I'm really going to be, like, part of AA now, and, you know, that girl is still sober today. And she's 15 years old, and she is absolutely on fire for Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, she goes to a Catholic school, and she, like, brings her big book. And I know that has absolutely nothing to do with me, and has absolutely everything to do with God. And it's just amazing. And I've got the opportunity to sponsor a lot of young girls. And, you know, a lot of them don't think they're alcoholic, you know. They're just like, oh, I just got in trouble, and I'm here because, like, my mom and dad. I was like, well, why don't you just try this, you know? And they're really, it's sad, but, like, a lot of them, like, really aren't willing to look at their lives from a different perspective. And, like, I know the grace of God, like, stepped in when I was completely surrendered, and he just rearranged everything for me. But I do have the opportunity to sponsor a lot of women, and it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, so I'm sponsoring all these girls, and I'm this AA superstar, and I'm speaking all over the place. And I have this super AA boyfriend, and we have our apartment, and we're putting drunks in our apartment, you know, and we're living the dream. And and within 1 week, my life absolutely came crashing down around me. there was problems in that relationship, but instead of doing anything about it, what I think I need to do is, like, go down to the clubhouse, grab, like, three girls, put them in my car, like, take them through the first three steps unwillingly. They don't even know what's happening, but I'm doing it because it gives me that relief for a little bit, you know, and all those problems that I know I have, like, just go away, you know, because I don't really want to go there and deal with them. And within 1 week, I find out my best friend is moving to Boston. One of the kids I came in at the same time, he overdosed and died. And that boyfriend that I love so much, that we're, like, living this American AA dream, he doesn't want to be in a relationship with me, and I find out that he was sleeping with one of my sponsees. You know, and I was stripped of everything material that I, like, put dependence on. And I saw firsthand how, like, my dependence was so strong on other people. And my dependence on God just wasn't there. And I was wrecked. You know, like, you could have came up to me and been like, I have terminal cancer. And I would have been like, do you know what he did? Like, you know, and I was just crying and I'm throwing myself on the floor and, like, people are, like, coming and, like, ripping me out of bed and taking me out. I'm throwing temper tantrums and I'm breaking out in hives and I'm just a disaster. And finally, like, my sponsor sits me down and she's like, when are you going to write an inventory on this? Like, you are not a victim anymore. And I was like, I think I am. But I absolutely love that woman because she took me into her home when I probably was unbearable to be around. And, she showed me the truth about myself, and she showed me that, like, if I have God in my life, then I really don't have any problems at all. And I swore off sponsoring anyone ever again. I was only going to sponsor the 14-year-old because she's awesome. That's it. I swore it off. But, like, something strange, like, happened. And, like, I'm just going to these meetings, and, like, I'm still really active in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I've been very consistent in Alcoholics Anonymous. I show up because it absolutely saved my life, and it absolutely gave me a brand new life. I will never give that up as long as I live, I know, because it just gives me such freedom and such happiness and such joy. So I'm showing up, but I'm definitely not sponsoring anyone. but what happens is women just start walking up to me and asking me to be their sponsor. That's not usually how it happened. Like, what usually happened is, like, I'd find the new girl, and I'd just take them through the steps, like, without them even knowing it was happening. And, you know, I got to walk, like, a lot of women down this path. And I was able to hold my head up with grace and dignity, you know. And people knew what was going on, and they're like, how are you still doing this? And I was like, it was such an example of God that it had absolutely nothing to do with me and had entirely to do with God. And I absolutely love my life today. I moved back in with my mom and dad, and it's really trying at times because, you know, like, parents and 20-year-olds are just, like, totally on different levels. And they really don't understand, like, why I go to Pennsylvania, like, three nights a week for Alcoholics Anonymous. They're like, there's, like, a meeting down the street. Like, do you really have to do that? And I'm like, yeah, like, why not? And sometimes I think my life should look differently than it does, you know? I'm in community college, which I really don't like. I just want my degree, like, handed to me. And I wish. And I don't have a car, so, like, I love to whine about that. Like, oh, I don't have a car. Like, how do I get around? And I do. And I show up for Alcoholics Anonymous consistently, and I think there's a direct correlation to that. Like, yesterday, I knew I had to be here, and I thought my friend Shannon was going to come with me. Like, we talked about it last week, and I knew all the other girls have, the girls I sponsor all have cars and jobs, which is, like, crazy to me. I don't, but they do. I'm like, shoot, like, how am I going to get to Lancaster? And, like, little do I know, my friends from Pennsylvania, like, all have plans to come out here. So all I had to do was, like, make a call, and they were like, absolutely, and I'm here, you know? Like, when I keep my hands out of the situation, it works out a lot better than when I'm trying to figure everything out. And I'm trying to make things look the way Ashley wants. Because, like, when I do that, things really don't turn out well. But when I just put my hands up and I say, I'm just in for, I'm here and I'm available, things work out really well. So thank you so much, Sam, for inviting me to speak. It's an honor and privilege to do anything for Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging a dollar or two a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.